Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks. 9 o'clock hour. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. And in studio for the last hour on Mondays, it's TJ Lang. TJ, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know I was sponsored by Twin Peaks. That's great.
This hour.
That's awesome. I would have picked, yeah.
It's your hour.
My hour.
It's the TJ hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. Yeah. You get any free food over there?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Now that I know that, I might try to barter a little bit with the fine Twin Peaks. Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
tell us about the game. The crowd looked like Lions fans showed up and showed out. Team did too.
Yeah, they did. It was kind of a game that I guess we'd all just become accustomed to now, where you know you take advantage of poor quarterback play on the other team. You know, force a couple big turnovers, and you're right. The crowd, you know, to start off, I wasn't looking at the field, but I heard this a giant roar. You know, cheer, and it was when the Lions ran out. So I think that was when you kind of noticed, like, okay, like, yeah, we kind of figured Cincinnati being decently close, you know, that they were going to have a good showing, and they did. The fans were awesome. I know the players talk about it, coaches talk about it all the time about, you know, how much juice and adrenaline that can give you when you're going on the road. And the game just, I mean, I was kind of in the same mood as Coach yesterday where – you go back a week to Cleveland, and we all saw the video where it was like, hey, you know, if I'm honest, you know, it's not good enough. We're going to have to be better. You know, we still won by 24, but like, hey, we got a lot of meat left on the bone. Yesterday was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be, like, upset about a win anymore. Like, sure, we can get better. Sure, it wasn't perfect. But you know what? Like, we've all been around here long enough to realize how hard it can be to win some games in this league. And we're just going to enjoy this thing. You know, we're going to get back tomorrow, make the corrections, and just keep chopping wood. So that's how I felt about it. And did get a little bit, I'm not going to say tight, but when Cincy ripped off a couple touchdowns there in the second half and you're looking at it like, okay, like don't even let them start to make it close. And then about 10 minutes left, you go on that drive to, you know, go back up three scores was like, okay, like, you know, it's just one of those games.
Yeah, it's like Detroit didn't blink. Cincinnati made some plays in garbage time, but it's not like Detroit let them back into the game. Like, at no point was that game under any dispute who was going to win.
Right. No, I didn't feel that way either. It just felt that way like, okay, like, let's not even make it seem like it's going to get to that point, right? And just, you know, I mean, I guess if I was nitpicking, some of the negatives were just – some of the self-inflicted errors. I mean, they took multiple sacks off the board with, you know, defensive penalties, and Hutch on the first third down was on him. You know, we saw it from the booth. We were looking right down, and it's like, yeah, he's like a half a yard. And, and you know, of course, he gets the sack. They throw the flag, and then they get the sack safety
defensive
later. That's like
defense
pass interference. It's like, man, like, you guys are just shooting yourself in your foot a little bit, which certainly need to clean up. But overall, I thought, you know, defense with, you know, missing some key guys and Terrion going out and being down, you know, your third and fourth corners and guys that haven't had a lot of playing time together, you know, certainly, yeah, a couple mistakes there with letting Chase beat you on a third and long. But I thought those guys battled, man. And the three takeaways plus the safety, I mean, that's, you know, 16 points right there. And
that's a good day of football.
In a two-score game. So, you know, we looked at it last week against Cleveland in complimentary football and scoring 17 off of the takeaways against Cleveland, getting another 7 on special teams, that's 24 points. You won the game by 24 points. You know what I mean? Like, that's what really good teams do. And this team just continues to show us that, and they'll play whatever type of game they need to play to go out there and scratch and claw and get a win.
I know that they're going to manage Taylor Decker in regards to his injury and when they play him, when they're trying to give him a little bit of extra time so that he's available at the end of the season. Giovanni Manu gets his first start yesterday. Your thoughts on his performance? Some good, some bad.
Yeah, early, the first sack, the sack fumble to me looked like maybe an adjustment at the line that unsure of.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of was like slow out of the stance. Like, I'm not sure.
Bad first step.
100% what I'm doing. And just got torched on that one. That's probably correctable. I would say this, like, in the first half, we kept talking about it a few times. Like, I thought the tempo offensively wasn't good. Like, there were so many times they're getting to the line of scrimmage and it's like two on the play clock. And then, like, you're trying to rush everything. And that's just not a good time to communicate as offensive linemen. The center's got to make the call. He's got to pass the left guard. He's got to pass the left. You got 2 seconds left. It's like, hey, here's the play. Snap me the ball. You know what I mean? And when you got a guy like Manu, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but that's very difficult to do. So I thought that in the second half, it cleaned up a little bit where let's give ourselves time to get to the line, diagnose what Cincinnati's doing, communicate, and go. And then we have the adjustment in the back of our mind. If we hear the adjustment, we know what we're doing. But I thought the tempo could have helped the line out a little bit. In that first half.
It felt very much like Green Bay, where they just were getting to the line of scrimmage with not a lot of time. And you've got to have, especially with new guys up front. And I know, hey, Ratledge, he's had, what, now 5 games, but he's still a new guy. Same thing with Mahogany and certainly with Manu. You get to the line of scrimmage, and if you're Penei Sewell and somebody makes a last-second call, you make those adjustments on the fly.
Right, yeah.
But if it's your first start, you're on the road, and you're trying to do your best, you're already putting a little pressure on yourself. You know the team is counting on you, and in the last second, you know, adjustment, you're like,
Oops. And that one, he kind of got caught, like he was in a 3-point stance, because I think you could tell it was a run play, and then it was like, wait, what do you mean it's a pass? Like, I don't like pass blocking against speed rushers out of a 3-point stance.
Yeah.
So, certainly things he's going to learn from. Why you always got to take shots at Garza?
Always. He never misses the chance to do it.
He's pissing me off already. I've lost my train of thought. But with him, dude, I did, like, offensive line's the ultimate position, John. I think, like, you got to really go back, rewatch it, see the footwork, see from the back angle. I thought he had some really nice run blocks. Like, really, really nice run blocks. Like, driving, you know, the three tech off the ball. They were playing a lot of tight shades, like, since his game plan basically looked like you're just not going to run, we're going to load. They were playing kind of like a 5-3-6-1 type of defense that's like, good luck getting double teams on us. And it was difficult. It was tough sledding. They found some creases there in the second half. It was good to see Demo get going. But some of the alignments made it pretty difficult on some of those guys cutting off on the backside. And I thought Manu showed some real power, man. Like, showed some bend, showed some leverage.
Mm-hmm.
When he was able to get under some guys and get his hands inside, like, you could see just the raw power that guy has. And he had a really nice block on, I think it was Montgomery's touchdown in the second half, where he kicked out on Trey Hendrickson and, like, completely wiped Trey Hendrickson out of the play. You know what I mean? Like, the gap was 8 yards wide. And so there's definitely some promising things. I mean, if it's a situation where, you know, nobody knows. I mean, my gut feel is they gave Decker the week off just to be like, hey, just get healthy, man. Like, you
get
know,
healthy because you got be two fine. And then
right.
the bye.
Yeah, we should be fine against Cincinnati. Like, you're never going to admit that, but, like, we should be fine this week. This is a good week for you just to rest that shoulder up, especially what's coming up next, right?
Yeah, you know, Kansas City and Tampa.
Tampa Bay, primetime games, and then the bye week. So that's my gut feel, but if it's something that might linger for a couple weeks, I think Manu can look at some things on that tape and say, okay, it wasn't as bad as it felt, right? Because I missed the sack later in the game, the third down. I think it was a play-action pass. I was actually heading downstairs just to prepare to do post-game with Coach. Somebody said it was a sack and might have been Manu that got beat.
It was a tight end, see that right?
Yeah. So on some of the play actions, it was – I mean, they put – I think it was Brock. That sounds right. Was on him on one of the sacks. But yeah. If I remember right, that was earlier in the game.
Yeah. It was like the very last.
Oh, the final
the very
sack?
End. Yeah, it was like third down.
He got beat. That was.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that, so I'll have to go back and watch. But either way, I think for a young player, first game, a challenging opponent with mm-hmm. Trey Hendrickson, I think there's going to be some positives that you can take out of there. And that's really the key, right? You don't want to sulk on the I'm 6 or 7 plays where you're like, man, like just like I hate that play. You want to learn from those, certainly, but I think that there was a lot what I saw yesterday that I think he can build off of if that's going to be
something that the Lions have to go to.
That
was going to be my question. Yeah. Like, as far as we know, like, is Decker going to be healthy at any point this season, or is it just going to be about managing where he's at?
Well, I mean, no, I think it's going to be a matter of managing. Because as good as he may feel in 2 weeks by taking that game off against Cincinnati, against Kansas City, all of a sudden, now you're back to where you were. Because it's just, you're not going to feel good. He won't feel good until maybe July.
Yeah. Well, I think most players are in the same boat. Yeah, right, and I think exactly. He was coming off of a procedure, over the offseason,
right,
which put him on pop. But that's not uncommon with veteran guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just remembering my 9th and 10th year and having hip and shoulders and like, hey, it flares up on you sometimes, man. And like, there's just nothing I can do. Like, I needed to shut it down for a day or two. Mm-hmm. You hope that happens earlier in the week, so you don't have to miss games. But
his coach said they made the call Tuesday.
Okay, I didn't hear that part, which to me, nothing happened against Cleveland that was like, oh man, I wonder about Taylor's availability next week. He didn't come out of the game, anything like that. So I think that's what kind of led me to believe that Cincinnati, we should be fine. Hey, you take a week, take 2 weeks, heal up because we got some big fish coming up. Before the bye.
Yeah,
Then we'll take another couple weeks and try to get you as healthy as we can.
Yeah, no kidding. They got Kansas City, Sunday Night Football next week, and then Monday Night Football at home, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got open lines. We're going to talk a little Tigers at the end of the hour, but it's Lions to start. TJ, give us his thoughts. 248-539-9797. We talked about the 4-1 start and how big a surprise a 4-1 start is given everything we discussed in the offseason. We'll get into that coming up a little bit. And best team in the NFC. After watching the Eagles lose, is the best team in the NFC play in Detroit.
Stop. You already jinxed the Tigers once this year. Just stop. Stop. You're not allowed to do that. John can ask that question. You're not allowed to.
It's 97-1. Brightside Dental. Got a big smile on your face. Your football team's playing well. Tell you about Brightside Dental. Going to the dentist doesn't have to be a pain. The Brightside experience. There's no lectures about what you're doing wrong with your teeth. It's a comfortable, painless experience. Not painful at all. If you got to get some work done. I've had to get a cavity filled. They numb you up. They communicate every step, and it's a piece of cake. 9 Metro Detroit locations, including one right around the corner from you. $35 new patient special. There's going to be no hidden fees. You get your exams and your x-rays. Make an appointment. Get back in that routine. 1-800-PAINLESS. Go to brightsidedental.com. Tell them Jim Costa and the Morning Show sent you. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Led the whole way. Dan Miller on the call. That's a kick your feet up, no stress Sunday for the Lions. It's not supposed to be this easy, but they make it look easy.
Well, they make it look easy because they're as close to a total team around the NFL that you're going to find. The offense, defense, special teams. And TJ, I want to ask you this. So a lot of, obviously, one of the hot topics has been Terrion Arnold and his propensity for penalties. He's given up some big plays. But with DJ Reed down, how concerning is it? And I know there's been other injuries in the secondary. What's your level of concern about health in the secondary and performance in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to get on the radar. I mean, that's back-to-back weeks that Terrion has gone out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not certain. I didn't hear any update on him yesterday. Not good when you go out back-to-back weeks with a similar shoulder injury, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I mean, especially with DJ Reed, I mean, you know, I don't think that doesn't seem like it's going to be like, hey, let's hold it down two more weeks until we get him back. I think that's going to be, you know, later into the season, just based off of how it looked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to find guys that can come in there and just give you some spot duty and hopefully go out there and compete. And I like some adjustments that, you know, Kelvin Shepard made yesterday. Running a lot more zone coverage, a lot more disguise looks, you know, kind of throwing Jake Browning off a little bit. He you know, they were mostly a pretty high percentage man coverage team throughout the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this, you know, stats yet, but it just felt like it was a lot more zone yesterday. And I think that was him adjusting to some of the personnel that he had. And so, yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, Terrion, I know guy's taking a beating. I know he's had some penalties. And yesterday, you know, there was a couple more. And one of them that took the safety off the board, thought it was kind of ticky-tack. But, like, he's got that reputation now of, you know, refs are – they make it an emphasis. If you're a guy that plays like that, it's no different than if you're a guy that gets a lot of personal fouls. You're not going to have a long leash because – unfortunately, you have kind of have a reputation of being handsy and being physical, and you know they're going to be watching you. So I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm not trying to, you know, make an excuse for the kid, but it just is what it is. And so, but either regardless, he's still giving you some really good reps out there.
Yeah,
I know. Much like offensive line, man, like you can have one or two bad plays, and that's all anybody talks about. You know, so Terrion's kind of been in that boat, but you know, hopefully. You know, it could be similar to last week where, hey, we just need a couple days to heal up. And
yeah,
because it would be big to have him on the field. But yeah, it's this point of the season, you never want to play that much musical chairs with your secondary. I mean, it's much like the offensive line that you just don't have a bunch of time to practice together with all
right.
these different people. And that's a position group that you need chemistry, you need trust, you need to be able to be like, okay, I've had this rep 1,000 times with this guy. I know what he's going to do on this coverage or this
yeah.
play or, you know, this route combination. So hopefully you know, Terrion can get back in there, yeah. at least give him some, keep some stability in that back end.
Yeah, I think the secondary is as close to the offensive line as you're going to get in regards to the chemistry that those five guys on the offensive line have and the communication that they have. Some of it's verbal, some of it has to be nonverbal, especially when you are, you know, 20 or 30 yards apart. A lot of it's going to have to be nonverbal for the secondary, and it's like they have to be moving as one. And if one guy's off, then all of a sudden you leave yourself open for a monster play.
Yeah, and you know, you need other areas on your defense to, you know, pick up the slack a little bit too. I mean, the pass rush yesterday, you know, we already mentioned a couple sacks getting taken off the board, but certain parts of that game were just like, okay, come on, man. Like, you know, since the offense line's not very good, they got a couple that they broke through. Hutch finally had one that counted, which on the flea flicker, I think, which was an odd call at that time, down three scores. But, you know, if you're going to go in there and you know that the secondary is a little banged up and, hey, we can't put too much pressure on those guys, you're going to have to take more of a urgent approach, you know, if you're in the front seven. So, I think the linebackers have been playing really good in my opinion.
Yes.
Like all of those guys. I mean, Jack has been phenomenal, tackling machine.
Derek Barnes has been good in a lot of different positions.
Barnes asked to do a lot of different things, whether it's edge rushing, playing from, you know, the middle stack, they're dropping into coverage times. Anzalone coming up with a huge play to, you know, second play of the half, really, to, you know, kind of stick it to Cincy early in that third quarter. I think the linebackers, man, have just been playing such good football. Mm-hmm. And that's huge for this team, because literally a year and a half, 2 years ago, we're talking about, you know, that group being a major weakness on this team. And those guys continue to get better, man. I think that's what really makes that defense go. Their ability to come support in the run game with good fits, get in their gaps, get off blocks, make tackles, and then to drop back and cover and get their hands on some balls. And Anzalone yesterday, like mentioned, that's a big play, man. I think the linebackers have been kind of a sneaky, underrated position group so far through five games.
We talk about some holes in the secondary, missing your left tackle, still go perfect 5 for 5 in the red zone, 3 takeaways, plus a safety. They're up big the entire way, never in doubt. This team's a complete football team. Now, I'm not allowed to ask this question, John, but if you would like to ask TJ a question about the NFC and where they stack up, that would be nice.
Well, especially with, I mean, it was a weird week of football where it started off with college and some upsets and Penn State losing to UCLA, but then it was the Saints.
Sad, wasn't it?
I know. It just broke everyone's heart. Yes, I know. I was leaving the game and I saw the score was like, I think it was 24-3 or 24-7. And I immediately was texting everybody I knew, have you seen what UCLA is doing to Penn State? And then I would love the way that it ended. But
damn shame.
The Saints beat the Giants. Tennessee gets a win over the Cardinals. And the way that one ended, with the guy going into the end zone, dropping the ball before he gets there, like, I don't get that or why that's a thing, but
it's so infuriating.
It keeps happening.
It's infuriating. Back-to-back weeks, not for Arizona. There was somebody else last week. I can't remember.
Yeah. But then the Broncos beat the Eagles. And so the question is, because in every time I've done the power surge, it's always been Eagles have been in the top three. Now they drop a game to the Broncos. Are the Lions the best team this week in the NFC?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, based off how they played the last three games and just doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at Philly's schedule, I mean, could you say they're more battle-tested? Probably. I mean, Broncos, I think they're a good AFC team. Tampa, Rams, Chiefs, their last four games, like those are good teams that they're playing. But there's just something, even reading some clips this morning and watching some, you know, interviews of, there's something that just kind of feels off again with Philly. Like Jalen Hurts, after every game, like win or loss, is like has to apologize or take responsibility. And because A.J. Brown, I think yesterday it was Devontae Smith, was talking, oh, our passing game was just terrible and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, every week there's something where Jalen Hurts is just like, "Yeah, my bad. Like I'll take all the blame, and you know I'll keep working to get it figured out." Like there's something just kind of off right now. And even when they were winning, it wasn't the vibe of like, "Man, like dude, this is the NFL. We're not gonna apologize for winning games." It was always kind of like mopey, like, "Oh, I know AJ Brown wants more targets," and like you're always talking about like the stuff that doesn't like really matter,
right?
Like, hey, we should feel good that we're winning games and we haven't even got production from, you know, our
from
best AJ players yet.
Yeah.
Like imagine
or
when
Saquon.
We do get going, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so there's just something off about Philly. And you know, I know I'm not trying to, you know, paint a picture here, but a couple years ago when Philly and, you know, they had that big hot start and it was like even something was just like off about them, I kept kind of getting the same vibe. I could be totally wrong, but just based off of the messages that come out after every game and just what they're having to talk to and people griping and complaining and bitching. It's like, okay, like you don't have that over here. And they've played, admittedly, a tougher schedule sitting at 4-1. But I think that, yeah, I think the Lions are just feel like right now, five games in, more of a complete
team. Is some of that for a guy that, you know, obviously you won a Super Bowl next year. You've got these expectations again. Is some of that inherent in terms of the questions that are being asked? Like, why aren't you as dominant as last year? Is that part of it? Or
I think so, yeah, because you become accustomed to, like, just winning.
Yeah.
And, like, that's and then it's not only just about winning. It's about how does
win.
It look? Like, yeah. It's got to be perfect, right? Like, you guys are the big dogs. You're supposed to be the cream of the crop. It's supposed to look really great with you guys every single week.
Yeah.
That can definitely be an added pressure for you. And Philly, I mean, what was their record like? They've won like 18 or 19 straight games, I think, before yesterday.
I think it was 19 to 20.
Crazy. Yeah. It's like that comes a lot of pressure. And they just, and that's why I kind of look at it and say, maybe that pressure's starting to show a little bit. You know what I mean? Because they're not saying like, man, who cares? We just beat the Rams. Who cares? We just beat like our division rival, the Cowboys. Like, what are you guys complaining about? You know? And I think that's what Dan Campbell is very aware of as well. And I thought I saw that yesterday where he maybe, I don't know if he was admitting a mistake when he said after Cleveland that it's not good enough. Certainly, I don't think that was the message to the team. But that's why I think yesterday was like, you know what, man, we're going to enjoy this one. Yeah. Were there some plays out there that, you know, we're going to get under some guys for and we're going to have to correct and we're going to have to emphasize, like, no doubt there is. But right now we're going to enjoy this thing. We've got 24 hours to enjoy a win on the road in the NFL, man. This stuff is so hard to do. People don't understand. We're going to enjoy this thing and we'll make the corrections, right? Like, I think he's very aware of, you don't want to put too much pressure on your guys to be perfect and perfect and perfect, because then you're going to start pressing and that's when the mistakes start.
I thought Goff last week when he was on with Doug and Gator did a nice job of somewhat clarifying that, it was certainly good enough to beat the Browns.
Yeah.
Because we won by, you know, 24 points. But was it good enough to beat some of the better teams?
Forward, yeah.
Yeah, moving forward, then no. And they all knew that.
Yeah. So. And I think that's – and Coach talked about it with me yesterday too, is that's a great characteristic this team has, is you don't have to go in there and say – guys, like, come on, man, we can be better. And everybody's like, what do you mean? We won by three scores. Like, everything's great. Like,
those guys
understand that. And it comes from the players, too. Like, yeah, we got a lot to clean up, man. We're good. But we will. You know, we're going to keep working. And they've obviously shown for the majority of, what, the last 2.5 years that that's exactly what they do.
Yeah. 9:50, we'll get some of TJ's thoughts on the Tigers. Come home with a split over the weekend against the Mariners. Got some more thoughts on the Lions. We can take some phone calls, 248-539-9797. Squeeze in some ticket texts, then we'll get to Heather's news. It's 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game, right? So listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks in the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Just rolling. Lions go on the road, win by 13, in control the whole way. 4-1 start. We got TJ Lang in studio on Mondays. Let's get some of your phone calls. 248-539-9797. We are aware we have a playoff baseball team, 950. We'll get some thoughts on them. David in Walled Lake, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
Awesome. Great win for the Lions. My question is, or whatever, is I don't know if I just saw it wrong or what, but on the Amik Robertson interception, did he get touched? Because he stayed in bounds and he had a 5-player escort into the end zone. That should have been a touchdown.
It didn't cross my mind
in the moment.
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and rewatch it.
I just watched it a couple times, you know, a little while ago, you know, and I don't think he got touched. He went right over the receiver or whatever and landed on the ground himself or whatever, and then got up, you know, and they were, you know, like showboating into the end zone, which is awesome or whatever, but never, you know,
I think they're going to say Chase
touched him
on the way down, maybe. I just rewatched it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Amik would have, you know, kept his feet coming to the ground, surely would have had a chance. But as soon as he goes up and makes the play, yeah, it looks like Chase kind of had his hand on the hip maybe as Amik was falling to the ground.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Okay,
so probably didn't force him to the ground, but yeah.
They said he wasn't down by contact because he didn't have, like, full control of the ball yet, right?
I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a weird splitting hairs at this point. Like. Yeah.
I didn't see a replay where I was like, what are they looking at? It was kind of anytime you fall and the guy's – Jamar Chase had his hand on his back.
So they're just
did he force him to fall? Probably not.
No, but he touched him on his way to the ground. Let's get to Anthony in Farmington Hills. Anthony, do you have an obscure play from the game you'd like to fixate on?
I do, actually. So I've been watching football for years, and I have no idea what kind of penalty you can have on a free kick where you get the ball at the 10-yard line. And that's been driving me nuts. It didn't change the outcome of the game because they just kneeled down. But what's the rule on that? How does that happen?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know. So when they got the ball on the 10-yard line, I was looking at going, What? Well, what just happened?
I thought the ref originally had said like unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's going to be half the distance from the kicking spot.
Right.
And then I think after I missed it, I think after he said something about the free kick penalty, and or they were talking on the TV about the landing zone or something.
Right. Yeah. There was it landed outside the landing zone.
With the new rules with kickoffs, I'm still confused, and they keep changing it every year. And it's like, well, if it lands here, they get it here. But if it lands there,
yeah.
And then, I don't know. I didn't know that affected a free kick. I have no idea.
Or that it's penalized from the kick.
You're talking after the safety. This is the final two minutes of the game.
Yes, yeah, because you can't onside a safety kick, but you could try that sky kick, and hopefully it's a wobbler, and you know, they drop it.
I'm reading just the play-by-play. Onside kick, 26 yards from the Cincy 20 to the Cincy 46. Fair caught by St. Brown. Penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards, enforced at the Cincy 20 where it was kicked from.
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, and I don't think the referee said anything about free kick penalty. I think the guys on the TV were talking about it.
Yeah.
So I thought originally that it was unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, somebody yapping or whatever after the play.
Yeah. And then
the TV announcers kind of made it confusing where I didn't really have a good spot to listen to what they were saying, but it was like, okay.
And then Moose said, you know, I forget who it was, Dean Blandino. They were like, yeah, but maybe we haven't heard from him yet today. We could get a clarification. And then I kept waiting and there was no clarification.
He was on to games that actually mattered at that point. I mean, look, the Lions are up 28-3 going to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Everything else that happened after that. Like, I know when people are like, well, since he didn't make it close. At no point did they draw within a single possession. At no point did you even have to sweat if they were going to cover 10.5 points.
No. No, and for people that want to say since he made it close, like, are the same people that tell you Detroit didn't make it close against Green Bay scoring late. You know, it's just, you're right. That game just never felt like, okay, guys, like, come on. Did think maybe a little nerve-wracking, like, even on the onside kick? I know it's still two scores, but even then it's like, okay, come on. Like, let's not play with this.
Let's put this away.
And they did. Play with the food, you know.
And then they put it away. And in this league, you're not supposed to win by double digits, right? That was the whole thing with the disco last year.
Yeah.
They've won 3 of the last 4 by double digits.
Yeah.
And you could argue they didn't even play all that well in some of those games, and they've won by double digits. It just speaks to the rarefied air that the Lions find themselves in.
And yesterday being on the road, too.
Sure.
I mean, and look, AFC teams, NFC, like every time you play each other, I mean, there's something weird because there's no familiarity.
Right.
Like we only play every 4 years. Weird things could happen. So I'm not taking anything away from what they did yesterday.
All right, 1-1, Tigers and Mariners. We'll get some of TJ's thoughts. But first, the news with Heather.
Well, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Mac Jones had a really scary experience prior to taking on the Rams. Did you hear about this? On the morning of the game, he reportedly saw a dead body in the marina outside of his hotel. Okay, so like he said, told his teammates he was just out on his balcony like any person would do in the morning. And
it was a floater.
Saw this body floating in the water. Police were called. It sounds like the team saw like investigators, a coroner's vehicle pulled up as they were getting on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't affect his performance at all. He had a great game.
He played well. Then he came out after dressed like a Batman villain.
Yeah.
With the Two-Face suit.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see that, but.
The apparel of which guys either go to the stadium or leave the stadium.
Now, you come with two different looks, because if they lose the game, you're not coming out in that, right?
I don't know. I was always went with one look and left with one look.
Okay. Yeah.
Carry multiple outfits in that.
Yeah. If you lose, you'll look pissed off.
Crazy, though. Bad Bunny hosted Saturday Night Live over the weekend. It was the season premiere, and he used his opening monologue to talk about the NFL's decision to book him for this year's Super Bowl halftime show. And he did say how excited he was, but he also had some jokes in there as well. And take a listen. That was funny. He also told people they have 4 months to learn Spanish. So there you go. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, it looks like... No comment.
Nope.
It looks like the things that most people love at Chili's when they go out to eat could be getting a big change. So if you go to Chili's, you typically get what for an appetizer?
Chips. It's been a long time since I've been to Chili's.
Chips and salsa. That's what you get. And apparently something is happening. So there is a woman from Georgia, a TikTok creator, who recently went there for dinner, sat down, and noticed that something was off. Yeah, and apparently she is not the only one noticing that these chips are changing. People are, you know, throwing a hissy fit online. Now, the official Chili's Facebook page says that they're not going anywhere, the chips. They're not changing, but they have introduced these new thicker chips for their nachos. And it sounds like maybe it's confusion at the restaurants that they're just ordering more of the thicker. You guys don't care. But anyway, some people do.
That just the soundbite really bothered me.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah, listening to her. Yeah. Oh, my.
Everybody's a food connoisseur or a dance or like a golf coaster. Yeah. Now. Oh, just.
Uh-huh. I thought when I read the headline, I'm like, oh, is it their baby back ribs?
Oh, no.
No,
it's the chips.
Have you ever gotten ranch with tortilla chips?
That's no. Weird.
Okay, that's what threw me off, too.
Yeah, right, yeah. I've never heard of that.
I don't ranch.
If you know, you know.
Okay.
Well, listen to this, you guys. There's a divorce coaching company.
Oh,
it's called Split Up. Geez. Well, they just conducted this big survey to determine which states have the most gold diggers. And they looked at several financial factors. They looked at concentration of millionaire and billionaires in the area, hourly wage, cost of living. And then they also looked at like online searches and app behavior. So people looking for phrases like sugar daddy and sugar mommy and sugar baby and marry rich, all of those type things.
They can see that.
Yeah. And based on their analysis, the state that supposedly has the most gold diggers is Florida.
Okay.
Followed by Nevada, Texas, California, and New York.
Oh, well, yeah. Should I look shocked?
Predictable.
Yeah. The least gold diggers are in Vermont,
Mississippi,
North Dakota,
Nebraska,
Louisiana,
Montana, Wyoming, and Maine.
All right. Heather with the news. Talk Tiger baseball to wrap next. 97.1.
Hey, the FanDuel Sportsbook app is your home for all your favorite NFL bets, from yards to touchdown to who's going to win. And with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. So that's the 30% PBT. That's right. You can get in on all the action with the 30% PBT this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any and every snap. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to bet on the game. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sure did. Dan Dickerson on the call. They learned their lesson in game two. They made the pitching change. They were going to let a lefty face Cary Carpenter with runners in scoring position. Tigers split over the weekend. Do you feel better or worse? And going in, everybody wanted to see them split. But at the same time, when you strike out 26 and you only have three extra base hits, the offense did not transfer any momentum from the Cleveland series.
Yeah. I mean, I feel fine. Like, stealing game one was great. Only thing that was a buzzkill was losing a Scooble game. What?
They did what in game one?
They won.
You said they stole game one, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, they won. It's playoffs, man. Like, right.
I'm with you. I just, AJ had to clarify that they earned game one.
I'm fine with that.
It's semantics.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Anytime, like TJ used.
Dude, take your hat off, man. You look like a dork.
Are you saying they didn't deserve to win?
No, I'm saying they did.
It's baseball, man.
No, no, TJ, I'm saying the opposite. I think common phrasing is the road team steals game one. If you win game one as an underdog on a bullpen day, you stole game one. That's the correct use. You did it correctly.
Yeah, you weren't expected to win.
Yeah, you used it correctly. To have the manager or anybody infer that it's disrespectful to call it a steal, no, it's a compliment that they went on the road as an underdog in a gritty way, and they stole game one, and they nearly stole game two.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, though, I feel better coming back. Starting pitching has been fine. We're getting Flaherty tomorrow. Mize, you know, hopefully you can get another one tomorrow and then close it out on Wednesday. I feel fine. I just – When I was in Friday, I told those guys, I'm like, I've just kind of like surrendered myself to just trying to enjoy the rest of this postseason, like without expectations and without getting angry and without being like, this is like embarrassing. Yeah. We can't hit
this
the ball.
This is who they are.
But I kind of lied. I was getting ticked off last night watching that game.
in the moment, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like, okay, the pitchers are doing like such a good job of just giving you chance after chance after chance to strike. And you did it in game one, like great. You had to take extra innings to do it, but you know, you kind of finally came up with a big hit. And then yesterday, just kind of like the same team that we've seen the majority of the past month. Just, you know, hey, you take advantage, man. Torque, big hit, right? Tie this game up. And then the very next inning, you get a double. You get a double. You get it. It's just like, man, like. But there's so many times that I've been watching the Tigers in the last 3 weeks where I feel like the games they lose in like the third or fourth inning, where it's like runners in scoring position with nobody out and then strikeout, strikeout, strikeout.
Yeah.
And then like even if you could add one, even on a Scooble day, like if you can get one, if you can get two, you know, and you know he's giving you seven strong, maybe eight, that's like they just haven't been able to do that consistently. And I think the middle of that lineup's killing them. I mean, I know Perez and with Colt Keith coming back, those guys are kind of switching in and out, but Dingler, you know, batting 0.56 and McKinstry 0.63. You know, those guys are 3 for 51. They're in the middle part of your lineup, and it's just like, and McKinstry did have that big hit in game one, right? He came through. But the majority of the five games in the playoffs is just you're getting no production from the middle part of your lineup. And the crazy part is those guys have 5 of the 14 runs batted in with like one hit each. So they have had some clutch hits at times, but it's just, you know, I think that the weekend probably, I feel fine about it because you're coming back with the chance to close it out at home. You know you're getting at least two more games, and you get them both at home. And let's see what they look like in front of a rowdy Comerica Park crowd this week.
Yeah, where we met in the middle was, John, you said you felt good. I said they did enough.
Yeah.
It was good enough.
Yeah, that's why I kind of feel that when I said fine. Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with it overall.
Yeah. Look,
how can you not be?
You wanted to split. I think you get a little greedy when you go, we got Scooble.
Yeah, and we got Scooble, man.
We got Scooble.
Two of them, you know? Yeah, that's what I think how a lot of us felt. But, you know, Seattle's, hell, they're a good team for a reason, man. They came up with some clutch hits with their backs against the wall, you know?
We have home field advantage. All they got to do is win two games, and the next two happen to be at Comerica.
Exactly. So, I'm excited to see what they look like coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they get a resurgence. Energy boost.
Yeah.
You know,
a little bit of something that they had in game three against Cleveland. Only need that one inning.
Team that's had a ton of up and downs, you know, over the past 3-4 weeks of the season, man. Like, it'll be good for them, I think, to come back and have the crowd on their side for a change.
Mm-hmm. You know? Do you realize the last time the Tigers won a game at Comerica Park when it was?
I don't. Well, they beat Cleveland once, didn't they?
It was in Cleveland.
That was at Cleveland.
Today is October 6th. The last time the Tigers won a game at Comerica Park was September 6th.
Yeah. Now, a lot of their games were on the road to end the season.
But they had home games in September.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, and not rowdy crowds because at that point you still probably had a 8-game lead on the division, so everybody's probably still pretty comfortable. Like it wasn't like super tense, you know, at that point.
But, yeah.
No, I mean I'm fine with it, man. I think the thing that just keeps giving me confidence is the fact that their pitchers have been really really good, especially the starters. And Flaherty gets a chance to do it again
tomorrow.
Yeah. And, you know, if he can give you 5 or 6 strong innings, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully all it takes is, we've seen the last 2 weeks now, all it takes is one big hit.
Yeah, I mean, how many of these both one-run games over the weekend, and how many of these games were nail-biters against Cleveland? No doubt they're going to be in the fight in all these games.
Happens to be playoff baseball.
Yeah, it's playoff baseball. Now, they got some bats that delivered on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's got to stop striking out so often.
Well, it doesn't
capitalize
help
in some of those spots. Got Doug Karsh in the studio. Doug.
Good morning.
How's it going?
You? I'm good. How are you guys?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.